sports from Southeast Michigan. WLEN Adrian, HD2, W243 AD, 96.5, The Cave.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. Our regular Monday evening show tonight, and we're going to talk soccer, especially men's soccer, right, Coach?
You bet. We were talking men's soccer with him or Sam. Skeel's the best player we ever had, so we're so fortunate to have Coach Crawford in the studio tonight, and it's been a fun year. I mean, it's been a, you know, probably he's going to talk about it, but a roller coaster type year for him, but yet they've had a good season, and soccer at Siena has been an exciting fall.
All right, well, let's bring him in. Let's talk a little soccer with the guys. Give us an overview of where you're at this point in the season.
So we're 6-6-2 overall, 2-3-2 in the conference with four games remaining. So we're sitting in a spot where we can probably go as high as third or fourth and as low as 10th or 11th. So, you know, with those four games remaining, we're tied for sixth at the moment. And like Fred said, it's been up and down. We lost our first two games of the year, won four in a row, and then kind of up and down a little bit, a couple wins, a couple losses. But we're right, you know, we're playing, for the most part, we're playing good soccer. And, you know, I think if we can peak at the right time now, at least last few weeks, and heading into the playoffs on a good note, we could make some noise.
And no question, Coach, that you've I think one of the things that really prepared you is you played a tough non-conference schedule. I know last time we talked, John, was we were down at the bowling alley. Gosh, I don't know. Boy, time flies when you get our age, right? But probably 6 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
It was right around Labor Day. We did Saints Sports Weekly preview. And in talking to Coach, I thought you played a very tough, I mean, Olivet Nazarene. I'm trying to remember a couple of the teams. I think that helped you prepare.
For sure. I think that's the way that for me, I like to do it. I don't think winning or losing games by five or six goals does anybody any good.
No, it doesn't.
So to have all those good, and we had a lot of those games on the road. We had a really tough schedule, and, you know, we went 4-3 in those seven games, and six of them were on the road. Played very good teams. We beat a very good team in St. Francis at their place, 2-1. We beat our crosstown rivals at their place. We lost to Spring Arbor, who were very good, and Olivet Naz, Huntington were, you know, the three losses. But we did, you know, I like to challenge the guys, and because we know our conference is very tough. So we have to play that type of schedule to get us ready physically and mentally to play our tough schedule.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Fred, that, the WAC conference in just about every sport is like so even. It's just really incredible. So like you say, it doesn't do any good. you know, to play in lopsided games, you really need to prepare yourself for tight games because most of the time that's what you're in.
Yeah, and again, our conference, I think it's one of the better soccer conferences in the country in the NAI. And, you know, even, you know, I tell the guys this all the time, there's no easy game. You know, it doesn't matter if they're first place or 12th place when we play them. Every game is going to be a battle. And, you know, everybody wants to make the playoffs and everybody wants to win. And every team has quality players. So it's not like you can just, you know, like we were talking before the show, you can't just walk out and just because you have better players per se mean you're going to win a game. Like you have to execute and do the things that you need to do in order to get the you know, the result that you want.
You know, it seems, Coach, that even if you wanted to find some easier teams, you'd have to look far and wide to find them. Do you know what I'm saying? Because our neighboring conferences, in at least their NAIA schools, are the Crossroads, which is a strong league in Indiana and the Chicagoland. So you'd have to look far and wide to find easier teams. But with 6 of 7 on the road, will that mean next year a lot of those 6 will be at home?
Yeah, so we do have a reciprocal. They're be right. Traveling to us next year, but with the league expanding, we have to drop one game next year.
Who's the Defiance?
Defiance, yeah. So you know we'll be going from 7 non-conference to 6. So we've got to figure out which team we're not gonna play. But yeah, we will have a much nicer home schedule next year.
Right, right, and one. Ways, so you're right, getting on the road can unify your club and all that. It also seems like that, and I don't want to say this by jinxing anybody or thing, seems like after Aquinas, which is going to be a tough match Wednesday, the other games, are we going to go in favored in those games?
I never think that we're going to be favored just because we still have to do the right things that we do to be successful. But Aquinas is the only team ahead of us in the standings.
That's
right
what
now.
I mean.
But 2 of our other 3 are tied with us
right
at 8 points. So, and then U of M Dearborn's not far behind us. So I was telling the guys today, we had a little meeting and I said, you know, it's up to us. Like we don't have to worry about what anybody else does. We control what happens to us over these last 4 games and how high we want to be or, you know, miss the playoffs because we don't execute. So I think we'll be up for the challenge and, but every team is a quality team. And, you know, if we don't do the things that we need to do, defend well, you know, and especially put the ball in the back of the net, then it'll be season will be over in 2 weeks and we'll be going, you know, what if?
And the thing is, the WAC has an 8-team postseason tournament. So really, one of the goals I would imagine is to have a first-round playoff game if you ended strong, right?
For sure. And that was a goal of mine coming into the season because I knew we would be talented. And we started off well, and then we hit a little road bump here. But if we can finish strong, we can definitely get in, I think, into that top 3rd or 4th spot and host a game, which they haven't done in a long time. So it would be great for our players to experience that. And they know that they can beat anybody in the conference if we play well. There's nobody in the conference that we're afraid of, and I think that, you know, that'll go a long way regardless if we're home or away, you know, as long as we qualify for the playoffs.
Would the Saints be characterized as a veteran team or a young team?
I would say mostly veteran this year for our main players. We have a lot of juniors and seniors that see a lot of minutes for us. We do have a few freshmen and sophomores that get some minutes, but I would say we're definitely, you know, junior and senior laden on our team.
And from your standpoint, after, you know, we say 6-6-2, right? So we've played, you know, what, about 75% of the schedule or more. All right. What has surprised you? What is, and what has gone as expected?
I would say surprised a little bit is that we've struggled to score goals over the last few weeks because we started the season off really scoring a lot of goals and creating a lot of opportunities. And I knew it would be tougher in conference because teams, they know each other and they lock down more and you're playing for a much bigger prize. But I thought we would be more dynamic and be able to score more than we have over the last few weeks. So that would be probably the one big surprise because I think we have the talent to score, three or four goals every game. Other than that, I mean, the worst part about the season so far is we've just dealt with so many injuries. I don't know if we've started the same lineup more than two consecutive games because we've had guys missing with injuries, and that's always a tough thing. Luckily, we're deep in a lot of positions, and guys are stepping up and playing well. But it does take its toll after, six or seven, eight games of not knowing who's going to be healthy. Can they train? Who's going to be in the starting lineup?
Talk about some of your guys that have had in outstanding performances and maybe up, for some postseason honors.
Yeah, so I would think, two in particular that have been very, very good this season. Gaiska Zandio is our leading scorer again from a defensive center mid spot. He's playing just great soccer, and a lot of the coaches have mentioned, hey, he really played well against us. He's very good in the air, very noticeable on the field. He's a captain, senior, just does a lot of things that go unnoticed by a lot of people. But, from a coach's standpoint, he's one of those guys that, I never want to take him off the field. And then Ricardo Moreno, our starting goalkeeper, has been excellent all year. He makes big save after big save when we need him. He's another captain, great communicator in the back, really does a nice job of organizing and keeping the guys going. And then we've got other players that have really stepped up and done a lot of nice things. So, I would just – those two, I think, are probably the two that have the best chance at getting some postseason recognition from the other coaches.
Now, the first young man you mentioned if you don't mind.
Gaiska.
Yeah. Okay. Just saying his name. And Marino, they're from Spain. Is that right?
Yeah, so both from Spain. So I guess I need to get some more players from Spain. But I do have two others. They're both great individuals, not just, soccer players. But and that's why they were, highly voted on by the players last season to be captains this year. Well-respected. Just overall great guys, great people to be around, the kind of player that I'm very proud of to have in my program. And that's certainly, the type of student that Siena Heights, looks to bring in.
Yeah. And just going over your roster, you probably, I would say, have the highest international, ratio or population than not only any team at Siena, but maybe any team in the history of Siena. How did that come about?
We're probably 50-50 international to American, and I think it's a good blend. It certainly helps, the players get to know, people from all over the world, and which I think is a great thing. But, the way it happens, when I first started, you get the recruiting companies that reach out to you. Oh, I've got these players. And you start that relationship with the recruiting companies. And now they know kind of the type of player I'm looking for, what they need academically and all those other things. And then I've got a very large Brazilian population on the team. And a lot of that came from, I got a couple and then they would tell their friends and they would come and they would tell their friends. And, it's been a nice pipeline that we've had. And, again, great kids, great players, I've been very lucky with the type of player that we've had. We've got a good culture within our team for the most part, especially with having, 48, 49 players. I credit the kids for that. I mean, they're not kids, they're young men, but, they've really, put the team first and they really look out for each other. And I think that's it's a great group that I've got right now.
Well, it's funny, remembering just drawing from past shows. If I remember right, the last show, a lot of the guys that we interviewed talked about that, what they've learned from their teammates and this difference in culture and that has just been really educational to them. And so you should be applauded for that, because that's not easy either, Coach. I mean, to build a program, you know, with guys that aren't from the same place, you know, so to speak. But as you mentioned, how many seniors do you have on your team?
Well, with the COVID still stuff,
yeah.
It's hard
to forget the fifth year.
Yeah, they still got one more year of that to deal with. But I think we've got 11 seniors on the team this year.
And did you have anybody play a fifth year COVID this year?
I've got a couple that did. Yeah,
and it's really been an amazing thing. And it's probably, you can comment on this, because we know it's happened with our fall sports, because you're only talking a ninth semester. Some of the people either, they can just finish their degree or go right into grad school, you know, which it's really a great thing, but it has got to be tough in terms of keeping all that together. That's going to end pretty soon, you know, I would think. But that's what happened with women's basketball last year with their all-time leading scorer. She, you know, which I think and her being in teacher education worked perfect for her, you know, so she could have the fifth year. So recruitment-wise this year, what are you – and I know men's high school soccer is going on right now. You have a lot of kids from Michigan and still some from around. Are you still using the services? How many kids do you want to bring in, and where do you want to bring them from?
I mean,
in terms of what position?
Right. Every position, because we're losing players this year that are impact players at every position. And, you know, we need to continue to build that depth. The one issue is with, like you said, men's soccer is the same time in college as it is in high school in Michigan, and it's difficult to get out to see games. So the winter is when I do the bulk of my recruiting, when they're playing for their club teams and doing the showcase tournaments and things like that, and then continue to recruit with the services. I've got, I believe, 5 players signed already for next year. Would like to get 14 or 15.
That's amazing.
So, and all the players signed so far are all international players, a couple from Brazil, Canadian, and, you know, just all over the world still.
I think that speaks so much to a great experience, you know. I mean, you're talking to a coach. I coached 30 years. I don't know if I ever had an international player on our team, really, ever. Maybe. I can't remember right off the top of my head. I mean, 90% of our kids are from Michigan, probably 95%. And I think it's awesome. But soccer is the world's game, too. Let's be truthful. Just a step farther. And I know we want to get to a commercial. The boss is going to get after me in a second. I want to talk a little bit about the WAC. And how did we become such a deep conference? It used to be there was kind of the haves and have-nots. Now it seems to be, you know, like you say, the middle part of it is very, very strong. How did that happen?
I think it's the same way that I've been building the program, and we've been getting stronger. I feel every day. I told them in the meeting today, I feel every year our team is more talented than the year before. But a lot of the players, if you look at their rosters, other than maybe U of M Dearborn, there's an international flavor to every roster. And some of them, like Indiana Tech and UNO and Aquinas, are probably, if not 100%, they're probably 95% foreign. So that's the difference in the game in the WAC. And, you know, especially if you can get 3 or 4 quality players that are going to be impactful in your program, it can flip your team around very quickly.
So one of the questions I had is, do the players learn from one another? And I'm not just talking soccer. I'm talking the whole breadth of their experiences.
Well, I hope so. You know, I mean, that's definitely a goal of having a team that is so diverse that they can learn from each other. And, you know, we do some nice road trips where they are together and they, you know, do a lot of stuff together and communicating. I know, you know, a lot of the players are learning all the bad words and all the other languages. So, and hopefully some other stuff that they can actually use in life. But again, our culture has been very good. And I think with the group of players that we have from all over the world that, I think they are embracing the fact that they're, different, and they can learn from each other.
Well, and you talk about the WAC and just going through the standings, which is amazing. Now, on the standings in the WAC alone, there have been 20 ties, which would mean, what, 10 teams? That's all that tells in itself how balanced it is when you have that many ties.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I talk to the coaches, you know, before every game, and we can't believe that what's happening, like who beat who, and like it's, there's not one team that you can say, like I said, it's an easy game or for anybody. You know, we've got some quality ties. We tied Madonna, we tied Uno, who are historically been two of the best teams in the conference. And then LTU, who was first place going into the weekend, lost to Cleary, who, you know, I think it was their second win. They're tied with, of the year. It's just, it's anybody's game this year. And I think the coaches realize that and the players realize that. And no matter where you're at in the standings, if you're not prepared, you know, you're going to get a result that you're not expecting.
Well, you know, for our listeners out there in soccer, you play the 90 minutes. And if it is tied, you play two, not anymore?
Not anymore.
No more overtimes?
No, not only with the playoffs now.
Because no matter what, we used to do 2 10 minutes. And when did that change?
They took it out last year. So
That can explain some, because you're talking about the old 80 of 37 years. I did not know that, because a lot of times we'd, you know, do the 20 minutes, and usually there would have, you know, some score would happen.
Yeah, and I like the new rule.
I agree.
Because I think if you play 90 minutes, you should get a result out of that. Not play, you know, if you happen to give up a PK or something in overtime and you lose and you get nothing out of it. You know, especially as a team that we've always seemed to be the underdog. So if you play for 90 minutes and you can play to a tie against a team that, you know, on paper should be better than you, I think you deserve something out of it.
Well, and that explains a little bit. Our women have no losses but four ties. To me, the inordinate number of ties out there, and it would, as an AD, a lot of times when we had an event, we have a schedule on the field, not the field house, but on the stadium, and that tie would screw it up because we could go another half hour by the time we do the break, 10-minute overtime, another break, and the other teams would be... And plus, I think just from an injury standpoint, it makes sense. So then when you get to the playoffs, we do probably do the 2 10 minutes, then shootout? Do you do then the shootout?
Yeah, so they've actually changed the rule too, though, for the overtime, because it used to be golden goal. So if somebody scored, it was over.
Yes.
Now you're playing out the entire 20 minutes.
Yes, no matter what.
No matter what. So if you go down a goal, you still have an opportunity to come back and tie it to still go to a shootout. But so you'll play the entire 20 minutes and no more golden goal, which is exciting for teams. But again, you know, something weird could happen, and you know, to not be able to come back from it. So again, I like the rule changes on both of those.
Well, has the 90-minute hard stop, has that changed the strategy as the game is winding down now from what it was?
For sure. You know, so if you're the team that is expected to win, you're probably going to change and try to get more offensive and try to find that goal. And if you're the team that's the underdog, you're going to pack it in a little bit and say, hey, can we withstand these last 4 or 5 minutes and, you know, maybe get lucky, but can we just at least not concede a goal? So I, for sure, the last, you know, 5 to 10 minutes of every game, especially up a goal, down a goal, or tied, is, you know, determines a lot what the coaches do or don't do.
You know, obviously the last few years have been World Cup years, right? So some of us front runners like me watched then, and the whole World Cup thing, and the shootouts have become so prevalent. So I'm asking you, at what point, as you're going to, and you know, we're going to count on the Saints will be in postseason, how do you start preparing by practicing shootouts? When do you, you know, really, because that could determine... Heck, it's determined national championships, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, generally we have a week between the end of the regular season and our first playoff game. So we have 5 full practices in there. So all of those practices will have some sort of a shootout element to them. Just so, one, as a coach, I know which 5 I want to choose. Yes. But also so the goalkeepers and the shooters are comfortable with what they're going to see, because that's the most important thing. Because if you put a player in a position where they're not comfortable and they have a bad result, then, you know, that could that could scar them for a long time on the field. And I want the players that are confident in their abilities, and also the ones that know if it goes wrong, that they're the ones that are mentally strong enough to be able to handle it.
Well, I'm really happy that you're playing the full 20 minutes, because just from me, my own opinion, I think the stupidest rule in sport is in the NFL, when a Super Bowl team loses the game and they don't get to touch the football in the overtime. That to me is, you lose a world championship and you never get your mitts on the ball? I don't know how they ever came about.
Well, if you remember, and we can date ourselves, but remember how Kurt Gowdy, he'd always call it sudden victory, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember so many times in at O'Laughlin and on the old soccer field, the goal is scored, and then the cavalcade of kids running out. And you're right. Pushing this conversation, what you talked about, back to football, that happened a few years ago in the AFC final with the Chiefs, and then it was the Patriots, when the Patriots took the ball down the field, and the Chiefs never got to get the chance.
Yeah, there was a Super Bowl decided that way.
Yeah,
a world championship.
That's right. You're right. Super Bowls have too, and they still, if you go down and score a touchdown,
the game's
over. It's over.
Yeah.
And so they change it from the field goal,
to me, it's the dumbest thing ever happened in the whole world. But that's just me. What I wanted to ask is, you know, with the change, that is it a little more difficult? I mean, do you try to make in-game adjustments, and is that difficult to do?
It depends on the time of the game. So with our substitution rules in the first half, once a player comes off, they can't re-enter. Second half, they can re-enter one time. So you can make some adjustments based on that, give players a rest or change your formation and things like that. But it's I was telling the guys, you know, again, in a meeting, like, as a coach, it's harder for me to affect the game while it's going on than a football coach or a basketball coach, because I can't call plays. I can't say, hey, we're going to run number five, and, you know.
You don't get 30-second timeouts.
Correct. Yeah, so it's on the fly. So, you know, there's very little I can do to affect the game once it's happening, other than, you know, personnel changes and maybe formation changes within the game until we get to halftime, and I can make some, you know, tactical adjustments and things like that. But then they go out for another 45 minutes and it's on their own. Like, they have to be able to understand what's going on in the field. And, you know, I have to trust that you know, these are the players that are going to get the job done.
Can you stop play? How many are you given a timeout? None at all.
No, just halftime.
Yeah. That's, you know, and that is really amazing, because even, you know, volleyball has
no
timeouts, you know, and
right. Run forever.
Yeah, and it is really what makes it such a unique game. I can't imagine Tom Izzo, because coach, he subs so much, right? One time sub, and he's going to be one of the best teams, and he's going to run people in and out so much. Sub, you can't sub them back in. That'd be.
What do you mean you imagine Tom Izzo? I imagine Fred Smith and the stuff that he did. Holy smokes, come on. I mean, I knew as soon as the shirt tail came out, we were down to serious business. I can tell you that right now. So, that's crazy. This is a – you can't make – what I was going to – head-to-head individual matchups, how important are they? And if maybe you don't think – you've got an advantage there. How can you change them, and how can you do that?
So, you know, it's we'll do that. So, you know, before I even put the starting 11 on the field, like, I try to think of what the other team's strengths and weaknesses are, and are we going to have the ball at our feet? Are we going to have to be comfortable with that? Are we going to need speed in the back? Are we going to need, you know, different things? So that will definitely determine the starting lineup, especially in big games when we get, you know, now in if we get, you know, when we get into the playoffs, and determining who's going to be able to play. And if somebody's struggling, then yeah, like I said, I've got enough depth that I know I can put somebody in that can hopefully change what's going on. And the other thing that's really great and really difficult is the style of play sometimes dictates who you struggle against. You know, we want to be able to keep the ball and possess and do that. And if we play a team that's a lot more direct and, you know, will press us and they're more athletic maybe, and they're not necessarily as skilled, you know, sometimes that could give us problems and we may have to change our tactics. So, you know, there's a lot of different little things inside the game that the players have to be able to adjust to on the fly. And as a coach, certainly try to make those adjustments.
You know, just one last comment. So it's 3 points for a win, one point for a tie. So you, my question is, when you add it all up and let's say a team is tied with 12 points and yet they tied, right? So how then do you determine who has the higher seed?
Yeah, so in the WAC with men's soccer, it's if the two teams are tied, then whoever had the best result or a positive result against the highest ranked team.
First place team.
Yeah, first place team, or if that's the same result, then the second place team. So whoever gets a point or 3 points from the highest ranked team.
Got it.
Makes sense. Go talk to the NFL. All right. We're going to be back with more. You're listening to Saints Sports Weekly. We're going to have a special guest after the breaks. You're listening to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com.
The top online bachelor's degree program in Michigan is now offering a completely online MBA degree. The Siena Heights University MBA will help students hone skills and better develop their talents as ethical business innovators. Business graduates, as well as students from many other majors, including nursing and engineering, are good candidates for the Siena Heights MBA. And no prerequisite entry courses are required. Classes are enrolling now. To find out more, visit start.sienaheights.edu/MBA. Learn what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Hi, this is Marty Nine with Iyett Insurance in Blissfield. Give me a call at 517-486-4381.
At Lenawee Community Mental Health Authority, Children's Services provides evidence-based therapeutic interventions such as parent management training, the organ model, trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, also known as EMDR, and infant mental health. To access our services or utilize our 24/7 crisis line, please call 517-263-8905 or visit us at lcmha.org.
Welcome back into Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. Well, we have a special guest with us on the phone here. It is Josh Vernier. Hi, Josh. We want to welcome you to the program.
Hello. Thank you guys for having me.
Well, I don't have any questions for you, but I know there's a couple of guys across the way here that do, so we're going to get right to it. Okay. Who's up first, guys?
Well, I just want to... Josh, this is Fred Smith, Coach Smith. I spent a lot of years at Siena and love the place. And I want to just ask you, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, where you went to high school, and just anything the audience would like to hear about you.
All right. Hello. I'm from Woodhaven, Michigan. It's about 25 or 30 minutes south of Detroit. It's also known as like the Downriver area. I've been playing soccer since I've been, I don't even know, 4 or 5 years old, and have been playing it my whole life. And I love it. I'm going into elementary education here at Siena, and yeah.
So, what made you? What was the deciding factor about you coming to Siena Heights as opposed to other options you might have had?
The one thing I would always say is like just the family feel and the family atmosphere here. Instantly, once I stepped on campus, it just felt like the right choice for me. Everyone saying hello and like seeing how you are. The coach Drew like being so welcoming, inviting me to stay on an overnight with some of the guys on the team, some of the freshmen. And it was just a really good night, and it just felt like I knew the guys forever. So I'd say like that was the main thing.
Did you know right from the start that you were wanted to go into teacher education, or did you kind of discover that your first couple years here?
Yeah, so ever since I was little, like five, six, I always wanted to do something like in the world. I always wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to be a pediatrician at first, and I realized that wasn't it for me. But I always wanted to do something with kids. And then, in, like, I'd say freshman year, I realized how much, like, I love just working with kids and, like, seeing kids succeed. So that's, like, the main reason I felt like education was the right path for me to take.
So you are, you will have to, you are in your fourth year at Siena, right?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, so you still probably have another, being teacher ed, it usually takes five. Have you... Do you know when and where you'll student teach yet, or haven't you got that far?
I haven't got that far. Probably somewhere in the Adrian area or the Lenawee County area, but no, I haven't got that far yet.
So, as we were talking about, would you have an opportunity to play a fifth year? You could do that. Have you thought about that, given
yes,
the COVID
I'm
year?
Definitely playing a fifth year.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. I mean,
yeah.
So we talked about that. So, I think that's great. We just talked about a young lady who is our all-time Peyton, leading scorer in women's basketball, did her fifth year, and she was in education. That's phenomenal. Let's go back to when you first got to Siena, and you came here as a freshman. What was the biggest adjustment to collegiate soccer for you?
Definitely, like, the pace of the game and just, like, the intelligent level, the intelligence level that everyone has compared to, like, high school and younger soccer. Like, you could just tell the guys have been playing the game for so long and are thinking so quick out on the field. So that was, like, the biggest adjustment, just being able to play a lot quicker, a lot smarter, and making, like, quicker decisions.
Now, I know they have a reserve team. Did they have that when you were a freshman? And I saw you got into six matches, or did you play some reserve, or did they have it then?
Yeah, so my freshman year, I played about every other game on varsity, I'd say. And it was a lot different my freshman year with COVID, like with the season being both in the fall and the spring.
That's right.
But I also played, I think, all the games on reserves as well. So I was kind of like on reserves, but also on varsity.
So talk about the position you play and the season you've had.
So I play center mid, more like a box-to-box midfielder. So I'm on both sides of the ball. I do some attacking, some defending. Have to be good on the ball, be able to play quick, play simple, and then also be able to defend and listen to my back line and the goalie and just be able to kind of do it all, really. And then when it comes to the season we've had a pretty good season. This is definitely, like, the best team we've had in all my 4 years of being here. October has been a struggle for us. We haven't got our first win in October yet, but it's definitely coming. And September, we had a really good month. I think we won almost every game in September. And then, like, preseason, August, we start off with two losses against some very good teams in Findlay and Huntington and then Olivet, Nazarene. But then, again, St. Mary's, we got our first win, and then we've just been rolling from there.
So talk about the team this year, the attitude of the team, and your role as a senior leader.
Yeah, so, I mean, the team this year, everyone's so competitive. Everyone wants the best out of everyone. And just to improve, our big thing right now is staying together on the field and having a better mentality, having more energy out on the field. We've had a couple of rough games in the past two games, two losses, so we're trying to get that win against Aquinas, who's going to be a very good team coming up. And as a senior leader, I just try and be a good role model for all the younger kids on the team, like the freshmen and the sophomores, and just try and take them under my wing and just help them become better players, become better people.
You know, one of the unique things about the program, we talked about this if you were listening, is the diversity you have within young men from not only from Michigan, from all over the world. How's that affected you? And talk a little bit about that and the attitude and the togetherness of your squad.
Yeah, it only affects our team in a better way. I mean, you have guys from all over the world, like Spain, Brazil, Philippines, Great Britain, who all have different ways of seeing the game, who all have different like inputs on the game with good ideals, and just being able to communicate and put their input out and being able to like stay together while at the same time being able to improve and critique each other in a good way.
You know, we talked a lot about these last four matches are really going to determine, we hope, a higher seeding, and yet it's been no secret. All of a sudden, a team that, you know, had scored a lot of goals, we've come in a little bit of a drought. What is it do you think the Saints have to do to end this year, a regular season, strong?
We just have to trust each other and, like I said before, stay together no matter what happens. We're a good team with so much talent on the attack and even in the defense. And just being able to play simple, play one, two touch, trust our teammates and going forward and just trusting that our teammates will be able to create chances and put the ball in the back of the net. And doing like the hard work for each other and putting in that extra little bit of energy and hungerness to get the wins.
You know, Josh, I was kind of wondering, you talked about when you first came to CN and started playing collegiate soccer. Did you have to maybe up your conditioning level from what you were doing in high school in order to play at the pace that you had to play in college?
Definitely. Over the summer, my freshman summer, I definitely didn't take it as seriously as I have my past couple summers when it came to like my conditioning and overall match fitness. So it was a big adjustment for me, especially coming from like high school soccer. For my senior year, I was one of the bigger kids out on the field. To now coming to collegiate soccer, where I'm just about like as strong and just about as big as everyone else. So it was a big like adjustment, just being able to be better conditioned and have a better fitness mentally and physically.
Well, when you talked about, you know, playing in the middle, are you like responsible for a certain zone or zones on the field? How does that work?
I'd say just about everywhere on the field, you know, having the responsibility to defend the other midfielder I'd be going against on the other team, being able to listen to my back line or even my forwards, and just being able to be where I need to be. Every game is going to be different, kind of, depending on if we have the ball more or if we are going to be defending a lot like we did this past game against Indiana Tech, who had the ball a lot and caused a lot of chaos with all their movement. So I'd say just, like, having to move all over most of the games, but also, like, trusting my teammates and communicating my teammates when they tell me to stay or switch guys and stuff like that.
Hey, Josh, tell us, what do you like about coaches' coaching style? What do you like about the most about it?
Well, the thing I love most about Drew is how he always like listens and just wants the best out of all the guys. Like, if I'm having any problems or any doubts about my own performance or what I should be doing better, he'll always come and he'll always talk to us about what we can do better, what he likes and what he sees out of the guys. And then before like every game, We have like a competition day. We know exactly what we need to do. We need to have high energy, be able to play well, and like he always expects so much from us. And that's like he knows how much talent we have, and he always has like so much. What's the word I'm looking for? Just trust in all of the guys.
And now I'm going to switch a little bit and ask Coach to talk a little bit about you as a player and what he's enjoyed and how Josh has improved some of those ideas.
Yeah, I mean, Josh is, you know, one of those kids that's got like a nonstop motor. He works really hard on the field, and like he said, he's really upped his workouts and getting ready for the season. You know, you can tell that he's really taken his conditioning seriously in the off season. And you know, he's a great role model for the younger players. He works hard. He'll say stuff to other players when he needs to, you know, as one of the guys that I think is a leader on the team. But he's just, his work ethic is phenomenal. Like he's nonstop, and, you know, playing the position he does, is probably the most physically demanding position, the three midfielders that we have, to get up and down the field and be able to play both ends. And he does a great job, and he's just been, you know, like you said, as a freshman, he played about every other game, with the varsity team. So he was close to the level he needed to be at. And each year he's added more minutes. And this year he started every game for us and probably plays 70 minutes a game easily.
Josh, which team in the WAC would you say is, in your mind, our biggest rival and who you'd like to get a positive result against the most?
I don't know. Any team we're playing next, I'd say, is our biggest rival. It's hard to say. We always have, like, a big rival against Concordia. Those games are always very emotional and physical. I'd say probably Concordia would be like our biggest rivalry in the WAC, but then really just whatever team we're playing next, I'd say would be like our biggest rival.
That's a great answer. One of the reasons I asked this question, as being an athletic director 37 years, I've seen for years, boy, it was Madonna and Sienna. We couldn't even get these guys in the same. It would be really, really tough. And then for a while, it was Spring Arbor. Then it was Tri-State, and all the different years. And it seems to be Concordia is becoming like that in a lot of sports. And maybe it's just because the proximity. I don't know.
I bet. Just about in every sport, that's the thing, isn't it? Not just soccer. So, what did you set goals for yourself or the team before the season started, Josh?
A little bit. I feel like my main goal this year, like from last season over the summer, was just to get myself in better fitness, like better shape, and just be able to play more comfortable on the ball. That's one thing I've struggled with in the past couple seasons, is just being confident on the ball and being comfortable playing out of the back and turning and being more direct as a player. So I definitely say like my fitness and just being more comfortable on the ball.
So I wanted to ask your coach a question. You know, when you pick your starters, I know that's got to be a pretty careful and meticulous process, because like you said, if you have to pull someone out in the first half, they are done for the game. Is that right, Coach?
Just for that half.
Just for the half. Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, my assistant coach, Ted Hannes, who we played together back at Siena a long time ago, and he's, you know, been coaching for a long time, and I trust him. You know, we'll sit and talk, you know, either by text or in person about, you know, what do we need out of this game, who's playing well, you know, who's next off the bench and all those things. And it's easy. Like, we had a really good spell when we had gone like 6-2-2 over a 10 game stretch, and most of the guys were pretty healthy, so it was easy to roll out the same lineup, you know, game to game, because I didn't want to mess with it. And now that we're, you know, we've struggled the last few games, and now it's back to, okay, let me figure out, you know, what chemistry we need on the field and who's going to do the job that we need them to do based on the type of game that we're looking for. Because even though we've got a lot of talent on the team, all the players are different. So who's going to mesh together well and who's going to be able to get the job done together?
So what's the next game that's coming up?
So we have Aquinas at Aquinas on Wednesday, and they're very tough. They're very British team, so they're very hard and they're very direct, very good in the air, very physical. So it's always a tough game with them. We battle them, you know, up and down the field, and it's definitely points that we need to figure out how to get, because it is a tough place to play, and they're a talented group. But I think we'll be up for the challenge. Coming off the last few games, I think they're eager to get another game going. I trust the players that, you know, we're going to be ready. It's a matter of, can we execute when the time comes.
So, Josh, what's your feelings about Aquinas? I know you might echo some of the things that Coach has talked about, but is this a game that could have more cards than normal, Josh?
Definitely. Aquinas is a very good team. They're very physical. They have a lot of boys sitting on 4 or 5 yellow cards already in the season. They're very athletic, very direct, like Coach Drew said. And we're also a team that has quite a bit of yellow cards, I'd say, and is also very physical. And there's games we keep the ball very well and stay together on the field, and then there's been a couple games where we let our mentality get the best of us, or bad mentality get the best of us, and we start talking to the ref, shouting at the ref, getting into it with other players on the field, on the other team, letting them get in our head. So it's just going to come down to staying together as a team, not letting the ref or the other team get in our heads, and putting the ball in the back of the net.
Well, it's easier said than done in the world of soccer, Josh, isn't it? Because what is really unique to me is the amount of chatter that goes on, you know? Even when you watch it at the highest level, the referee is not like a basketball referee. If they don't like anything you say, they turn around and they make a T-signal, which I never saw very much. Ha, ha, ha. But and they would nip it in the bud quick. In soccer, it's kind of ongoing, a lot of talking, and it sometimes does affect the game. You see that where you got to keep that positive attitude and not the negative. I don't know. How do you do that? Is that a mindset? And if you see somebody getting in that mindset as a leader, how do you handle that?
Yeah, I would definitely say, like, it's just mentality. College soccer, so much who has the better mentality going into the game and during the game, and just trying to stay positive on the field. If I hear other guys screaming at the refs or screaming at each other, I try and tell them, like, just be a family, stay together on the field. And that's the most important thing, really.
Coach, you want to talk about this a little bit, because your experience of not only being an All-American but playing professionally, how do you teach your team to – it's a game where you have to kind of keep playing. You know, there's no stoppage. How do you do that in practice? How do you do that within the framework of your culture, et cetera?
So – when I first took over the team, the previous year had a lot of yellow cards, and a lot of them were for dissent to the referee. So I wanted to squash that right away, because if you get 5 yellow cards throughout the season, you have to miss a game. It's like getting a red card. So I said, you don't give one away because of your mouth. Like, you're going to get enough of them from a tactical foul or just a hard foul or whatever it is. So I instituted a rule right away. One, there's a big thing about, especially in men's soccer, with they're trying to crack down on the swearing. So if a player swears in practice, they've got to drop and do 10 push-ups right there. So just try to get that in their head that you can't do that. And then if a player gets a yellow card for talking to the referee, they know they're done for the game. I'll pull them out. They'll sit down, and it's happened once this year to a player that we probably needed on the field. But they know the rule. You know, I can't change it because of the situation in a game. I can't, you know, that's one that I think the team has to know that it's a serious rule. And it's only happened probably 4 times in my 6 years where I've had to do it. Because I think they know and they respect the rule and they understand that it's just silly to do that because it's just giving away a card. And they, and every once in a while they'll say just enough to get over the line. But I think they've done a pretty good job of understanding that there's a line they can't cross.
Do all the officials know all the words in the different languages?
Clearly not, because we'd have more yellow cards if they did.
Would you agree with that, Josh? They don't quite know all the languages?
Yeah, definitely. They definitely don't know all the languages.
Well, Josh, we're running out of time for the program here this evening. I want to thank you so much for being a part of it. We want to wish you and your teammates and everyone connected with the Siena Heights University soccer program all the best in the future. You guys got any parting words for
Josh?
Well,
I just want to, you know, I'm so glad to hear Josh will be back next year. But, you know, as one old coach talking to a Saint athlete, finish strong, guys. Finish strong. I can't wait to watch you guys play in the playoffs, hopefully at home.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, Josh. Best of luck in the future.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
All right, that's Josh. That was Josh Vernier, and we're going to take a break. We'll be back to kind of finish things up right after this. You're listening to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at siennaheights.edu.
Here's a great driving tip. Avoid muddy, dirty roads, roads under construction, or really just anything that can make your vehicle dirty. Plain and simple. But if you can't, you must never avoid Magic Fountain Auto Wash. At Magic Fountain Auto Wash, you can save your vehicle from all the damage from that dirt and grime. Why allow the Michigan roads the chance to reduce the value of your vehicle when it can be prevented? Magic Fountain Auto Wash, with self-serve bays and touchless drive-through, 3 locations in Adrian, Hudson, and Britton. Make dirty cars a thing of the past.
Attention all students, parents, and educators. It's that time of year again, back to school season. Are you ready to start the new academic year with blazing fast internet? Look no further than D&P Communications, your local internet service provider.
Whether you're attending school on campus or from the comfort of your home, with D&P, you get up to gig speeds from a company you can trust. Switch to D&P Communications by visiting our website or calling 800-311-7340.
Life as a farmer has many sides. That's why we work with Nationwide, the number one farm insurer, to help farmers and ranchers stay profitable and protected. With Nationwide, you can feel confident you're getting coverage that fits your operations needs. Find out how to help protect your farm or ranch. Call us today.
D.S. Johnson & Associates, located in Adrian, Morencia, Monroe. Give them a call today at 517-263-2582.
For your many sides, there's Nationwide. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval. Products and discounts not available to all persons in all states.
At Siena Heights University, we make transferring easy and ensure you're on your best path forward. Study online with our nationally ranked program or commute from home and get the traditional college experience by taking courses on our Adrian campus. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Visit siennaheights.edu and find out what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Welcome back into Siena Heights Sports Weekly here in on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. All right, we're wrapping up the program for this evening. Coach, thanks for being on. Best of luck against I hope you beat the Saints.
Oh, thank you. And thanks for having me. It was a pleasure being here.
Always great to have you on, and finish strong, my friend.
Thank you.
I just want to remind everybody, you can listen to Siena Heights Sports Weekly each and every Monday evening, beginning right here at 6 p.m. here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. Good night, everybody.
Lenawee County Sports.
He's Jody Mack, and he's diplomatic.
If you agree with me, it doesn't mean we're right. If you disagree with me, it doesn't mean you're right and I'm wrong, because